For some of you big kids, the drum will be up here after church. So if you wanted to come try that, I won't be opposed to that. Gathering our hearts, gathering as a corporate body. Sometimes, yeah, it was just to sing, to dance, to pray together is always a good thing to do. But there's also times where we gather our hearts and minds and where we try to look into God's Word and say, teach us, O Lord. And so we're at that part in the service now where we have that instructional part, where we seek God's face in a way that says, Lord, yeah, we're missing some information here and we need to be taught. So would you be willing to come sit with us and open your scriptures so that we could learn? So let's pray. Holy Spirit, fall afresh on the sanctuary. Allow us to experience the words from the ancient text so that it doesn't just remain ancient words, but they become words that live in our hearts for today. We're thankful for the story and the narrative that's created that we're still a part of and growing into. And we seek your knowledge so that we can more fully understand Jesus and his journey and what that means for us in our daily lives. So Spirit, open our hearts, eyes, and ears to that. Bless us with your presence in the sanctuary this morning. Amen. So we have two scripture passages today. You see under there the title Wakotowin. It's the Cree word for relationship. And we're going to see that relationship isn't just, you know, that human interaction kind of thing. Again, looking at the paintings, we'll be able to see that the understanding, again, for what God, our Creator, wants is not just this human response, but in fact, all of creation needs to respond and is responding. So we're going to start off with Genesis. Genesis 1, the first two verses. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So keep that image in your mind as we... And then we're going to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. And at first glance, some of you are going to go, what the heck is Harold thinking? How do these two things fit together? Well, hopefully at the end of this, we've managed to bring some understanding that way. So John 6, starting at verse 25. Under the heading, Jesus, the bread of life. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. You are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed a seal of approval. Then they asked him, What must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So they asked him, What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. So far, the reading of God's Word. Dear family of Jesus, in our story this morning from the Gospel of John, we are confronted by a question. And that question is this: Rabbi, when did you get here? And so in the context of the story, it seems like just a really a harmless kind of question, kind of a, maybe an obvious question, because they're thinking, you know. But the question goes much deeper than Jesus' arrival time. Genesis chapter 1, the first two verses. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The Apostle John in his epistle writes this in chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. So the question found in today's passage, Rabbi, when did you get here, should make us reflect on our understanding of how God interacts with His creation. The paintings are on display this morning were created by Ovid Beachetti and his vision for the Passion Week, for the Easter story. The paintings, they're done in a woodland Cree style. So what in the woodland Cree style, what they're seeking to do, what the artists are hoping to do, is you see that there's all squiggly lines within the people. It's also been called X-ray art. So with the artist who you're incorporating this style of painting, what they're trying to do is draw you in. Instead of just looking at this one-dimensional surface here, they're drawing you into this. Say, hey, look beyond. Look into the characters. Look into the scene. And don't just leave it sitting there on this surface in front of you. So the artist's intent is to make you dig deeper, to look beyond what's just what seems to be on this two-dimensional thing, but to reach into the painting and to look beyond the surface of that canvas. Our first passage from Genesis this morning provides an answer to the first question of Rabbi, when did you get here? And sometimes as followers of Jesus, we forget to look around us for the miracles and beauty that surrounds us, because we feel like we're in survival mode. Right today, I'm sitting in the council room waiting, and as elders and deacons came in, it was, oh, what a beautiful, what a glorious day. All these things about the day, which it is. But so often, we're just so busy that we forget to take a look and to just appreciate what the sun looks like, how it smells in the morning, all those kind of things. And scratching out a living can be so hard because we're just trying to survive. We're just trying to get by, just to cope. But in Genesis 1, and we often forget about that part of the story, that Jesus was right there at the back at the beginning. And so it's good sometimes to reflect on the whole story. And I appreciate your church for taking the time to reflect and look at Aboriginal art, Aboriginal issues. You're certainly confronted with it in the community you're in. So it's good. And I'm glad that you've decided that you have to do this regularly to do that. Genesis 1 shows us that Jesus is infused. Jesus is right there in creation. He's there in all of it. And since the beginning, we see his interaction. What is the first thing that gets created? This is where you guys get to shout out an answer. So what gets created? We've got the Spirit hovering over this dark, watery form mass. What's next? Light. Right? Light is the next thing. And that's in verse 3. Have you ever stopped to think about that? Right? God infused his world with his light. You and I are vessels of that light. And so it's important for us to understand that Jesus is in that journey with us all along, right from the get-go. And we are infused with his light. And we begin to see that in some of this work, that light is not only important in our life, in our journey, but in a lot of different people groups as well. In this art, and particularly in Ovid's work, you see a lot of these lines emanating from things. And you're going, what the heck are those all about, Harold? Well, those are spirit lines. They represent the light of God. And so what Ovid is trying to do in these moments here is you can see that the light interconnects. It isn't only going into the human form, but it's enveloped in all of creation. So in all of these paintings where you have these lines, we see that lines are in the sky, they go to the ground. All of creation is infused with this light. And it's important for us to think of that. As we become creation stewards, to think of just how can creation best reflect light? How can I help it to reflect light better? How can it help me reflect God's light better? Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. You were looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed a seal of approval. And this leads to the second question from our passage in verse 28. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? And Jesus answered, the work of God is this, believe in the one he has sent. Seems kind of simple, kind of a no-brainer. And yet we find ourselves struggling with that, believe in the one he sent. And so what I appreciate about Ovid's this is he makes me look at a familiar story in a different way. I can't really just shrug this story off anymore because I've seen this artwork. I've talked about it. I've traveled with it. And so it becomes now a part of this greater story again of understanding that Jesus is with me and that I have to believe he's the one that he sent, even though it doesn't look like maybe what I grew up with or understand. But the message is still the same. He has risen, and therefore we have hope. Sometimes it would seem that the followers of Jesus ask questions, and a lot of us do that all the time, but we really don't care to hear the answers. Right? How many of us pray for God to God and say, God, you know, can you please help me out or do this or do that? And we get an answer and we're going, well, you know, it's not what I wanted. You know, we have to be willing to ask those questions, to explore. And so when Ovid was doing these paintings, he did this and he prayed about it. But when he took it to his elders, when he took it to his Aboriginal community, some loved the artwork and some just said, no. This is a colonial thing. You've adopted a Christian style of painting and it just doesn't. But he didn't know that when he set out. That wasn't his heart and why he created the artwork. He created for us questions. And when we ask those questions of Jesus, we should expect unusual questions or answers back. And I think that's the exciting part, being a follower of Jesus, is trusting that when we ask those questions, he's going to give us an answer, and we may not think that's what we thought we were asking for, but as we heard the whole service today, the same God does not leave us hanging or twisting in the wind. He will provide us with an answer. There is a logical progression in this story from creation to the time of the cross, to now the time that we're in, this part of the story we're contributing to. But just like the crowd that was following Jesus that day, who had witnessed a miracle, but remained motivated to follow Jesus based on their stomachs. I got something tangible, something physical. And if I'm going to follow this guy around the countryside for a while, I hope he provides us with another meal, because I'm going to be hungry again. And so they just got zeroed in on the physical thing that Jesus was doing for them, just providing food for their physical bodies. The proper motivation should have been looking them beyond that and saying, hey, this is a miracle. Wow. That's what I should be, the spiritual content. What? But no, it was just, oh good, my belly's full. Good to move on for a few more kilometers. Because in the miracles, we see who God was. Jesus reveals his power and his authority. But they miss that. And so I hope we don't miss those same opportunities where we get to see in our everyday, ordinary world that Jesus reveals himself to us. And we can respond, well, thank you, Jesus, and my belly's full. Or, that was a miracle. God really has this power that is simply amazing. And there's no one else that has that kind of power. How many of you witnessed miracles? You know, it's not something that always happens every day or we think. I would argue I've probably seen some as well, but then I've forgotten about them. Yeah. Because I get focused on the physical and not the spiritual and not see that this is God moment where he's teaching us and showing us something much more beyond the physical realm. When you look at these paintings, do you like the colors? Now that you know that it's the Passion Week story, have you ever seen the story told that way? In your mind, do you think it can still be the same story? Or because it's not written or told in the same format that we're used to seeing that story, somehow this is not the real story. We have to find those moments where we can see that God grants people of all stripes and colors talent. Right? Gathering of the disciples. You know, normally we're thinking, oh, upper room. Okay, so well, that's not exactly like the story was. But is it really about the gathering in the upper room? Or is it the fact that they were gathered together as the followers of Christ? That becomes part of the... And we know Jesus in the garden, you know, weeping, crying, praying, asking that this journey be removed from him. For me, my first really positive reaction to these paintings was I had them in Covenant CRC a long time ago, the originals. And Vincent Yellow Old Woman, who is from Pekani Nation down south, came up. And he walked into the foyer where we had them displayed. And he says, I want to be greeted like this in church every week. He says, this is like coming home to me in church. I thought, wow, just because some paintings, this fellow felt drawn in to be with a community that probably wouldn't interact in normally. So we need to look beyond our physical and look for those spiritual connections. Because what is happening at the end? What are we all geared up for? Because eternal life is the gift that Jesus wants to share with us. He did all of this so that we have eternal life. That's the gift. That's the goal. And so we have to continue to walk and to work towards achieving that goal. The folks in the story, they missed that point. They're just happy to get their bellies fed. And they missed that point of eternal life. And in fact, some of them even start to think, well, you know, maybe it's works. Maybe I can find my way and do enough to make that. But in verse 30, we have a third question. And this question, what miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? Do you find yourself doing the same to Jesus? Always trying to, you know, Jesus, what's next? How can you, you know, do this for me? Or what can we do? What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? And then they go on to reference Moses, right? The manna coming down and what the blessing of food was again, trying to show their knowledge of miracles, right? They thought, ah, we got you now, Jesus. We know about miracles. Moses was the one. Again, in that whole story, they missed the point. It wasn't Moses. It was their Heavenly Father who fed them the manna. And Jesus pushes right through to say it was not Moses who gave you that bread, but it is God, my Father, and He has given you the true bread from heaven. Well, what is this bread that you speak of? And then in verse 33, for the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. For the bread of God is He who comes down from the heaven and gives life to the world. The commentaries summarize the story in this way. The crowd, it's focusing on the physical realm. In John, the physical and the spiritual are interconnected. For the physical is spirit-bearing. The Word became flesh. The present dialogue will teach us this lesson very clearly. This crowd, then, is faulted not for their interest in the physical, but for lacking perception of the spiritual through and in the physical. So in these paintings, what Ovid is trying to say that is the Spirit of God, it's everywhere. And it's important, and it's supposed to be there. In all of creation is the Spirit of God. So I need to be a good steward of the land. I need to take care of the trees. I need to take care of the water. Because God's Spirit rests on all of it. And we want all of creation to be that bright reflector of that light. Us included, as humans. So, do we choose to see things and to look at things in a different way? Trying to seek the spiritual instead of just looking for the physical? Just like the artists in these paintings are inviting you to go beyond just what's the paint put on a canvas, but to draw you into the story and to ask why. Why the colors? Why this? Why that? Scripture is an invitation to do that for us in our daily lives. It's not a blueprint. It doesn't tell us exactly how to do it, but it invites us. Because in the whole narrative of Scripture, Jesus was infused. And He's still there present. And because of that journey to the death and to the cross, we have that hope of eternal life. And so it comes down to some choices. How do I seek? Are my eyes going to fail me, and am I going to fail to see or hear God who is present here in our lives? And sometimes it's through the sacraments. Sometimes it's through these moments in church. Sometimes it's just through the every ordinary moments in our lives. But Jesus is there. And so we need to seek and to follow. And then more importantly, let us as Jesus followers gathered here this morning pass on the bread of heaven that gives life to the world. The bread of heaven that gives life to the world. That's what we're called to do. And we can do that in joy and happiness. We can do that in sad moments. We can do that in really hard and awkward moments. But just remember, Jesus is there with you in that moment. In fact, he's already been. And so we should have that confidence to stand out and to pass on the bread of heaven that gives life to the world. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. While I wait for the musicians to come back up. After church, if some of you would like, I will go over the paintings in a little more detail. So if you want to come, I don't know if you're allowed to go downstairs and bring your coffee up, but that would be okay by me. And then we'll just go a little bit around the paintings in a little bit more of an in-depth way. So invite you to join into that. And then some are going to still eat, and you still got to do the blanket exercise. So it's not going to be the extended version, but I will try to enlighten you a little bit of what I know about the paintings.